This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, a couple of guys that can only hope to be house trained.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line a gentleman who you know real well, Steve Oberg, who is the aquatics manager for Preuss Pets. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Steve, can you help our audience understand exactly what a saltwater reef tank is? I'm not even sure if people haven't had those types of fish tanks in their home before that they truly understand what it means.
Sure. Certainly a freshwater aquarium, you know, with tetras and algae eaters and maybe some live plants is more common over the years. But in the last 10 years or so, the saltwater coral reef tank has become quite a bit more popular. And it's not just about clownfish and sea anemones, but there's actually an amazingly diverse contained ecosystem in there. We've got tiny crustaceans. We've got diverse types of algae. We've got starfish. We've got vibrant corals and sponges. There's really every square inch of the system is alive and just teeming with all sorts of different things.
Wow. And you know something, whenever I'm in your store, I notice all the different types of colors and just the different types of surfaces that the things have. And it seems like I'm almost wondering, do you have to be really scientific in order to be able to keep them alive? Or is it something that's pretty easy to do?
You know, you really don't need to have that much background. I myself have really minimal to no science background. I got started into the reef aquarium hobby, you know, 15 or so years ago and kind of grew with it. And I remember the amazement that I had at how much I was learning about it and how I can now, you know, watch the PBS special on the ocean or, you know, read something about that and how much I have picked up over the years, you know, without really feeling like I was in class or being like forced to learn something. It's also easy just because it's something that I'm interested in. And I see that same thing with our customers where they're so enamored with their aquarium, you know, that they just sort of absorb everything that goes on with it.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. This is Rick. Thank you very much for coming on.
Sure. No problem.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking when you're saying that, just the diverse of customers that we have. You know, if there is one commonality, you'd have to agree, it certainly isn't a scientific background, and certainly their level of success has nothing to do with their scientific background. Would you tend to agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they say the movie audience is from 3 to 93, you know, and aquariums are about the same. You know, we see men, we see women, we see young folks, old folks, we see all kinds of different folks become fascinated with reef aquariums. It can be and they can be a relatively inexpensive thing, you know, where you can have something very simple set up for, you know, a couple hundred dollars, you know, to something quite a bit, you know, more elaborate. So it's really a hobby open to really anybody.
One thing that I get excited about is just the fact when you look at a reef tank, the floral presentation, but it's all living and growing, and how much of a more catering to a nurturing character that tends to be, you know, more gardeners, more appealing to the female clientele as opposed to just a mechanical machine. Maybe you can comment a little bit on that.
Sure. I mean, there's a few really cool things there. And one thing, I'm looking out a window right now at snow and ice and gray and just not pleasant, right?
Yeah.
And I can walk about 50 feet and go see a number of beautiful reef aquariums, and they're full of vibrant color and life, and it's always changing. It's really a 365 day a year gardening experience, you know, where you're actually seeing it grow and change and divide, and really just it's always getting updated. It's always there's always something new to see. I still, at least even though I'm here, you know, working with the fish, you know, 40 hours or more a week, I'm still seeing something new almost every week that I've never seen before in a reef tank. And that always just baffles me, that there's always these new life forms that I haven't seen. You mentioned that it's as much about the beauty of the living animals inside the tank as it is about like the equipment that runs the tank. And that's one more cool feature, is that we have some folks that get really into reef tanks because they get as excited about some of the equipment that sustains this ecosystem and tweaking that equipment to really maximize its performance. Then we also have some folks that use the equipment and are interested in the equipment just enough to focus upon the life that's inside the tank. So there's really a lot of different ways to be successful and a lot of different sort of areas to focus on in a reef tank.
Kind of reminds you of auto racing. You got those guys that want to work under the hood. You got those guys that want to run around as fast as possible on the track. And you got those that want to be in the audience just kind of watching.
Sure. And those that want to make the car look as cool as it can with the decals and the paint job. You know, there's a lot of different focuses there, and it's just the same thing with the aquariums.
Steve, I have a question about the transformation of the hobby. I remember back in the 80s when I had saltwater tanks, the focus seemed to be back then much more on the actual colors of the fish themselves. I remember beautiful clown triggers, and Rick has heard me talk about my majestic betta that I had that I love so dearly. But when it came to the innards of the tank, I remember having a rock and a couple of other things, but I was always afraid to get into the corals and all of that. What triggered, forgive the pun, people into getting into that and really expanding the environment to be so much more like the real ocean?
Sure. The primary thing that made it more possible to keep reef tanks was the inclusion of what's called live rock. And live rock is actually rock that has been taken either from the ocean or just recently there's some synthetic man-made live rock that's made on land, and then the life from the ocean is infused into that rock that's now available. But regardless of the source, that rock represents hundreds of different living organisms from dozens of different kinds of algae, different kinds of sponges, all sorts of tiny crustaceans and little miniature starfish. There's all kinds. It's that diversity that comes from those rocks that forms the basis of the ecosystem that keeps all those big animals that we used to focus upon, some of the bigger fish and things, that's what keeps them so healthy and so durable, is that firm basis in the ecosystem from the live rock.
Well, Steve, somebody without a science background, I think you could have just walked into any classroom and taught a lesson on that one.
That's nice. Thank you.
Very good. Very good.
Well, and Steve, the other thing that I've noticed is that there's a lot of innovation that seems to have taken place, where I was walking around Proust and noticed that you had different colored lights that created different kinds of effects on the coral, almost making them glow in the dark, and really neat stuff like that that I just don't remember. And maybe it was just that the old Proust store in Hazlitt wasn't as big as the new Proust store, but I just don't remember that stuff back in the 80s. Is that something that is also a relatively new adaption in the hobby?
Yeah, the actinic light bulb has been around for a while. Rick, I'm sure, knows better the original date on it, but I'm guessing sometime in the 80s or early 90s. But the recent innovations are in LED lighting that you're seeing in many different industries. But there's some really, really fascinating LED lights that the technological side of me really appreciates that are coming out in a variety of different colors to create a variety of different effects on an aquarium. And they're even getting to the point where they're replacing the traditional high-energy lights we use on aquariums. These aquariums, because of the corals that we grow in them, they need the energy of the sun to promote their photosynthesis, and therefore we need really bright lights. And those really bright lights have historically been very hot. And that's one of the really cool things about the LED lighting now, is that not only can it create different visual effects where the corals can glow and show very different colors in different stages of the day, but also the LED lighting is now powerful enough that it can actually penetrate the water and produce enough energy where the corals can use it for that photosynthesis to grow.
Wow. And as far as getting into the hobby, if you have a lot of power, energy, and heat and whatnot, is it an expensive tank to operate over time? Maybe you can relate to customers on that, because the one thing I have noticed is that things have changed a lot in that respect.
Oh, that's one of the cool things about the new part of the hobby as well, is our pumps now use, you know, 6 watts or 8 watts or 12 watts, whereas they used to use 40 to 100 to 150 watts, and they would produce much less water flow. Similarly, some of that LED lighting uses 30 to 50 watts and produces as much light as what used to take 150 or 250 watts. So there's been huge leaps and bounds, and there's really a lot of tanks now that are extremely electrically efficient, you know, where their power consumption is quite minimized compared to what it was in the 90s.
So compare, if I'm sitting in my living room looking at a reef tank versus a garden, what's the similarities and differences that somebody's going to notice if they're sitting there enjoying their tank? What relate to somebody that hasn't ever really seen a reef tank before?
Sure. Well, as a kind of hobby vegetable gardener in the summer, I can definitely attest to what both those environments are cool about. The similarities, you get to see things grow, you know, and that's always a fascinating prospect, to be able to produce, you know, large things from small or seemingly nothing, and that's always something that's fascinating. The reef tank really differs in two respects, maybe, I guess, three. One is the diversity of what's going on in there, that it's not, you know, just plants. It's not just green. You know, there's all sorts of, you know, the small fauna, they call it, the life that's in that aquarium that we talked about earlier, with the starfish and the crustaceans and the sea anemones and the fish and the sponges, and that's all constantly changing. The color in a reef tank, you know, is going to be oftentimes various shades of fluorescent, neon, you know, bright, you know, red, green, blue, you know, lots of different diverse colors.
Okay. Kind of reminds me of an orchid display, but year round, as opposed to just when they bloom. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Sure. Yeah. And that's the other thing, is the every day of the year, you know, the reef tank's there
with an intense amount of color. I mean, I'm just thinking zoanthids and other open brain corals and such, just fluorescent green, bright orange, bright red. You know, colors that you could never imagine on land, and it's every day right there in front of you.
Sure.
I think
sure.
One thing you might want to comment on is the growing point of the whole thing. You know, back years and years ago when Lee was into it, the rock had to be pulled out and scrubbed and cleaned and
exactly.
whatnot. Now it's a whole different story. We've transferred our concerns on a reef tank from a saltwater fish tank, where we're just scrubbing and cleaning, to something that we're actually watching grow, and then it has its own peculiarities. Talk a little bit about grooming a reef tank.
Sure. Well, that's one of the new problems, is that we put in these small live corals that are generally grown from other ones. More and more now, most of the corals, the zoanthids you mentioned, some folks call those button polyps. Those corals are almost exclusively produced in captivity now. You know, whereas 10 years ago, those corals would have almost exclusively been imported from the wild. You know, and that's one more cool development. Now, what we get is we put these small corals in the tank, and after a couple months, you know, maybe 3 months at the most, for, say, a zoanthid or a button polyp, they're twice the size they were. And then you go 2 to 3 more months down the road, and they're twice that size again, yeah. And then again and again. And it doesn't take too long before the confines of the aquarium that used to have, you know, a half a dozen corals throughout the tank is now wall-to-wall corals. And we actually have to groom them back and actually create more space, because they literally overfill the space, and they're actually actively competing with each other for that space, so they can actually sting each other, and if we don't intervene, what we eventually end up with is a tank full of only one coral, you know, whatever the most dominant one was.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a bonsai, you know, only you got 20 bonsais in there, and you have a specific way in which you want them to express the whole statement.
Absolutely.
Steve, I have a question. I know that Aquarium Innovations is a part of your company that a lot of people don't necessarily know about. Can you tell our audience exactly what it is and some of the public locations where you guys have and maintain some of these beautiful reef tanks that they could go out and see other than at Proust Pats?
Sure, sure. Our Aquarium Innovations staff is a trained crew of service technicians that take care of the reef aquariums we've been speaking about. They take care of freshwater aquariums. They take care of the rainforest-type displays that have, like, poison dart frogs in them. And, for example, the reef tanks, you can see a couple really nice reef tanks over at the NCG Cinema over in the Eastwood Town Center. The Playmaker's Shoe Store has some really nice reef tanks that they've had for years in their location over on Grand River in Okemos. And those are just two of many of the public viewable reef tanks that we've helped maintain over the years. The Potter Park Zoo has an excellent excellent coral reef exhibit there that we helped design and have trained them to maintain on an ongoing basis.
Fantastic. And the best thing also about the changes in the hobby is that in my day, the dinosaur days, we had to actually make up our own saltwater mixtures. Now you can just go to Proust Pats and it's all ready to go for you, which is a great feature as well. So it's obvious a lot of changes have taken place. And Steve, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing great information with us. We've been talking with Steve Oberg, the aquatics manager from Proust Pats. Thanks very much, Steve.
No problem. Thank you.
Oh, it's been our pleasure. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation in the next segment with Bill Backus, the owner of A&M Aquatics, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.